Very soon, we're going to see the King. I was reading through, it was either this week or last week, I was reading through the book of Esther there. And I love that story. It's an interesting story. Really, if you read through Esther, you've probably noticed that the name of God's not actually mentioned there, but the work of God is all over that book. And there's one particular part, it's probably the most famous part, when the Jews get into trouble and they're going to be killed for being Jews. Then a faithful man petitions this Jewish woman who had, by the providence of God, become the queen by the name of Esther, the book's named after her. And he petitions her and tells her, he says, perhaps you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. It's your time to rise up, Esther. It's your time to take charge. God's put you here perhaps for a reason. But know this, God will raise up. Even if you don't do your part, God's going to raise somebody up and he will bring deliverance from another place if you choose not to. Well, we know the story of Esther. She goes in before the king. And in that time, in those oriental courts, you had to be either specifically invited by the king, or if you were so bold as to enter in, you would have to hope and pray he'd extend that golden scepter to you. Oh, because if he did not extend the golden scepter, you would be killed. You could possibly be killed, greatly punished, if nonetheless. But she went in there, and the Bible, we know through the providence of God, the golden scepter is extended unto her. She didn't go by invitation. But I thought about that. I said, you know, she needed that invitation. But isn't it wonderful to know that the King of Kings has given us an invitation to come to him anytime, day or night, does not matter. We have a standing invitation. I'm not waiting on a golden scepter, oh, because I have an open invitation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no time when it's inconvenient. I do not have to fear coming before his presence and catching him at a bad time. I can come anytime, day or night, and come into the presence of my King and make the petition known. And I thank God for that this morning. If you got your Bibles, John chapter number 14. We got next Sunday, many of you probably already know, you probably already heard, but next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. But I want to start something this morning by reminding some of us of those fundamental truths about the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our lives as believers. It's just something that has been put fresh in my heart this week, and I hope to do the same for you this morning. Nothing new. Don't think you're going to hear anything that you've never heard before this morning, probably. But if it is the first time you heard it, praise the Lord for the Word of God. But it's probably going to be things you've heard before, possibly many times, probably read it yourself. But I'm asking God to take what we're going to preach this morning and give it some fresh light. It may not be a new message, but Lord, give it some fresh light. Give it some fresh unction in our hearts, because I appreciate the power of the Spirit in our lives, what He does, the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the expression of the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in Pentecostal worship and the freedom to worship God, not only in your heart, but with your lips, and to lift our voices unto the name of God. We believe in all of that. But how many appreciate the work of the Spirit in our lives? I know you do. And I want to just highlight some of these things this morning with the Lord's help. John chapter number 14. We're going to go down to verse number 12 and begin read that one verse. And then we're going to skip down to verse number 16. And we're going to read verses 16 through 18 this morning. And then we're going to pray. John 14 and verse 12. The Bible says this, Jesus speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Skip down to verse 16, if you would, this morning. Jesus, once again speaking here in his upper room discourse, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. With the Lord's help this morning, I just want to preach on another comforter. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. We praise you for your word. We've had a time of, I trust it's been a time of true praise, and we've lifted up a sacrifice of praise unto you, and I pray it's been found acceptable. But at this time, Lord, we turn to your divine book, the word upon which that shall be founded beyond all of the extents of what we know in this world. And I pray, Lord, that you take your divine word, your eternal word this morning, and this old message, I pray that you would bring some fresh light and some fresh encouragement in it this morning as we look forward to celebrating the coming of the Comforter. But Lord, we rejoice this morning because he's already come, and we know you, Lord. We thank you for your power, and I ask, Lord, that you'd give that anointing that makes preaching easy for me and effective for the hearer, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I love, I've told you before this, I very much love John chapters 14 through 17 out of the Gospels. It's some of the richest writing to me. It is the upper room discourse of Jesus Christ to his disciples. It's pre-Calvary. It's pre-Garden of Gethsemane, but he's talking to them, telling them, I'm getting ready to leave you. You're not going to see me anymore. The disciples are going to ask him, Lord, where are you going? He's going to tell them the way that I go, you know, but you cannot come. And they're baffled by this. But in the midst of this, we find Jesus is going to lay out the ordinance, if you would, for the ministry of the Spirit of God. And there's so many things that we could mention, so many things we could preach. But there's four particular things I want us to notice and focus in on this morning as we're talking about this one whom Jesus says was another comforter. Now, we know Jesus' words brought great comfort. It brought great consolation. But as he's getting ready to leave, he looks at his disciples and he tells them, I'm going to send you another comforter. And I want to look this morning quickly four things. Number one, this comforter produces the work of Christ in us. The Holy Ghost comes not just to perform a work for us, and I thank God for the things that the Holy Ghost does for us, but how many appreciate what he does in us, what he does through us? He gives us the enablement to do a work for God, and I appreciate that this morning. If you got your Bible still open there, look with me, John 14. Verse 16, we just read it, but the Bible says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I like this because Christ says that he is going to send, he's going to pray that the Father would send another comforter. This is important because in the Greek language, there are two different words for another. The first one is this, another can refer to something that is of a different kind or a different quality. But the second word for another in the Greek, which is the word allos, which is used here by our Lord, it means another of the same kind and quality. Allow me to illustrate this morning. I'll use an illustration of transportation. Let's say that you own a moped, and that's how you get around. That's your primary mode of transportation. But one day you come into the church and you tell everybody, I'm going to go out and buy me a four-wheel drive pickup. Oh, it is another form of transportation, but it is not like the transportation that you currently have. Oh, but if you drive a minivan and you buy the same make and model, just a different color, you've purchased another of the same kind of transportation. Does that make sense this morning? That's the word that Jesus uses here. It's not talking about something that's different in quality or in nature. It is something that is of the same nature and the same quality. I am glad to know this morning that Jesus didn't leave us with the second best. He didn't leave us with something that was subservient or less than him. Oh, but he left us with the triune part of the Godhead, the third person of the eternal Godhead, to live inside of us, to dwell inside of us, and to work something on the inside of us. Oh, when Jesus says that he's sending another comforter, it is another of the same kind and quality as he is. Now, several years ago, I remember as I was growing up, that became very popular. How many remember the slogan WWJD? What would Jesus do, right? You know, it became very popular, especially in the more liberal side of Christianity. It became popular in other places as well, but that's where it really became about in the Jesus Revolution and things that come out of that. But they made up bracelets, they made up t-shirts, and it was WWJD. What would Jesus do? Now, I understand the premise of what they mean by that philosophy, but it is somewhat flawed, and I want to share just a couple things, and I'm going somewhere with you this morning. First of all, this philosophy, what would Jesus do, implies that we would know what Jesus would do in a specific situation. How many found out, if you read the Gospels very much, you find out Jesus surprises us, right? You ever read those Gospels before? How many remember the first time you ever read through the Gospels for yourself? Anybody remember that? And you got to reading there, and you got to reading about him going into the temple and casting out money changers, turning over tables, and whipping people with a scourge of rope. Now, did you see Jesus doing that? You probably hadn't even thought about Jesus doing that until you read about it. And you might have had to read it a few times to really think about it, because there's times, oh, we realize Jesus done some things that we didn't really think that Jesus would do. Oh, not only that, oh, he ate with sinners, he touched lepers, oh, he whipped people and overturned tables in the temple. These are all things that Jesus actually did. Oh, but we wouldn't necessarily think about them being things that Jesus might, would have done in that situation. Second of all, when we ask the question, what would Jesus do? It implies that if we knew what Jesus would do, that we could actually do what he did. I don't know about you, but I've never raised anybody from the dead. What about you? I'd love to. God uses me, praise the Lord, but I have not yet. I've not yet seen that. I have not yet stepped out on water and it becomes solid underneath my feet and me be able to walk on top of waves. I have not been able to do that. There's only two recorded in Scripture that have done it, Jesus and Peter, and I am not either Jesus nor Peter. I have not done it. So this phrase implies that if we knew what Jesus would do, that we would have the ability to do what he did. And we don't necessarily have that ability, do we? Do you have the ability to forgive people of their sins? I don't have that ability. You said, Shane, you're the preacher. I know, but I don't have the ability to forgive you of your sin. I cannot absolve one man or woman from any sin. But you know what Jesus did? He looked at a little lame man that was carried by a stretcher by four people, and he said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. He had power that I do not possess. Oh, not only that, he arose from the dead. You know what? I hope it's a long ways away from now, because I enjoy living for the Lord. I look forward to the life that he has for me. But one day, if the Lord tarries, you might read about my obituary. You might get the news that I have died. But I will tell you this, I cannot raise myself from the dead. I don't have the power to do that. Now, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to get up one day, but that has nothing to do with me. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. But the Bible says that Jesus, after he had been crucified and laid in the tomb, he got up on the third day, just as he said he would do, because he has power that I don't possess and that you don't possess. Oh yeah. Third of all, this logic implies that what he would do if he were here on earth today. But guess what? Jesus isn't here today, is he? I didn't see Jesus this morning. I haven't put my fingers in his nail prints. But you know what he told Thomas? Blessed are they, having not seen yet they believe. And I'm one of those this morning. I'm one of those blessed ones that I have not seen, but I believe him. Oh, but I'll tell you something. If you believe this book to be the inspired word of God, then you have irrefutable proof that Jesus is not physically here in body today, but he has ascended unto the right hand of the Father on high. I was reading there in Hebrews chapter 1 this week, and I love how the writer pins it. He says these words about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I say he's still at the right hand of the Father this morning. He's still there. He's not here. He's there.
Oh, I believe the slogan would be better expressed, not WWJD, what would Jesus do? But we should ask ourselves, what did Jesus do? Open them Gospels and find out what he did do and rejoice in the power of the one that we serve. But there's still one problem. Even when we know what Jesus did, we can't do what he did on our own power, can we? But I want you to look there. John 14 and verse number 12. What does Jesus say there? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Doesn't that seem rather impossible? You mean to tell me what's greater than raising somebody from the dead, Brother Shane? I can't do something greater than that. While this promise seems impossible, what does the Bible tell us about how Jesus performed what he performed? Oh, you don't have to turn there, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. There, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. This is what it says about the works of Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You want to know how Jesus Christ did what he did? The man Jesus did what he did? Because he was God incarnate, and his Father was working with him, and the Spirit of God was moving upon him. That is how and why he was able to do what he did. Nobody else could do what Jesus did. Nobody else has the power to accomplish what he accomplished. But you know what I love about this? Oh, he says, greater works than these shall you do. Can I tell you this morning, the same Holy Ghost that anointed Jesus lives in and anoints believers for his service, enabling us to do what he did. You believe that this morning? I don't have a lesser form. I don't have some subservient form of the Holy Ghost. This isn't a lesser dispensation, but I have received the same Holy Ghost that anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. That same Holy Ghost lives on the inside of me this morning, and he enables me to do the work of God. Oh, think about it. But he says, greater works, not greater in quality, greater in quantity. It's not talking about greater quality works. We can't do better works than he did. Oh, but we can do more. You said, Brother Shane, what do you mean by that? Think about it. When Jesus was here, he was confined to one body to do the work of God in and through him as he was moved on by the Holy Ghost. But now every believer becomes a body through which the Holy Ghost can anoint and do the work of Jesus. Oh, I'm glad about that this morning. Every one of us become a body through which the Holy Ghost can anoint and use for the glory of Christ and enable us to do his works. Oh, it's no wonder that Jesus would declare this. Oh, in John 16 and verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That word expedient, it means it's advantageous, it's profitable, it's to be best suited for you if I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to make you my body. I'm going to turn you into my hands. I'm going to turn you into my feet. You are going to become my mouthpiece. And it's not just one man doing the work, but it's many men and women moved on by the same Holy Ghost doing the work of God. Oh yes, that's the glory of the New Testament. You know something? Got your Bibles this morning? Go with me. Mark chapter 16. Keep your finger in John 14. I noticed something I never paid attention to before in the book of Mark this week, and I want to share it with you. Mark chapter 16. This past Thursday is what's recognized on the Christian calendar as Ascension Thursday, 10 days before the day of Pentecost. And I noticed something here in Mark 16. It's his final chapter of his book. He's bringing everything to a close here. And notice what he says. Mark 16, verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Where's Jesus? He's right hand of the Father on high, received up unto the Father. Notice verse number 20. What does the Bible say? And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. I never paid attention. I said, Verse 19 tells us he's up in heaven. Verse 20 says the Lord was working with him. How was the Lord working with him? Because the same Holy Ghost that anointed him to do the work was the same Holy Ghost that anointed them to do the work. And now they were just an extension of what he already started in the world. I'm glad to know that this morning that in 2023, we are just an extension of what he started way back then. And the same Holy Ghost that moved on him and anointed him to be able to open the blinded eyes and preach the gospel unto the poor is the same Holy Ghost that moves on us this morning. He has the same power. Oh, it's no wonder that Paul would say this. I quote it all the time. I know you've heard it. Oh, but I just want to bring it back here this morning. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we think or ask or think. And we stop right there. But we don't finish out the verse many times. What does he say at the end of that verse? According to what? According to the power that worketh in us. And it's the same power that worked in Jesus Christ. It's the same power that worked in him, and it's working in me this morning. How many are glad that he came to enable us to do the work of Jesus this morning and to carry out the Great Commission through the same power that he had? The Holy Ghost enables us to do the will and work of God. Got to move on. Second point. Not only does he allow for us, he produces the works of Christ in us, but second of all, he protects the will of Christ for us. Not only did the Holy Ghost come to produce those works that Christ did in us, but he's come to protect the will or the desire of Christ for us. In chapters 14 through 16, the Holy Ghost is referred to as the Comforter four different times. John 14 and 16, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." John 14 and 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." John 15 and 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." John 16 and 7, "Nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." I want to zero in quickly on that word Comforter. We find it's the Greek word parakletos. It's a fancy word for lawyer. An advocate, someone who comes alongside. It was the Greek word for a lawyer. If you got into trouble and you need somebody to represent you, you would call for a parakletos. You'd call for a lawyer, somebody who would plead your case. But there's something I paid attention to here. Oftentimes we talk about, oh, I've got this great advocate. I got this advocate in the Holy Ghost. I got this comforter in the Holy Ghost, this advocate in Jesus. Oh, but what does a lawyer do? A lawyer protects your rights and he fights for your wishes. Not only does the Holy Ghost produce the works of Christ in us, but can I tell you, he protects us from doing our own will, or he protects the will of Christ for us. He represents the interest of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. God's Holy Spirit has come to plead the cause of Christ and to guard the name of Jesus and to protect his interest. You know what we often talk about, that one minister of the Holy Ghost, how he's our comforter. And he is. He is our paraclete. But you know what the Bible tells us about his ministry? He's not just come to be our comforter, but he's also come to protect the interest of Christ in our lives. I want you to notice what Jesus says here. I'm not making this up. Oh, God's Holy Spirit has come to plead the cause of Christ, to guard the name of Jesus, and to protect his interest. When John got ready to write his first epistle, he would use this same word, parakletos, in reference to Jesus. He'd say, "My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate." We have a comforter with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Advocate, comforter, parakletos, lawyer, they're all the same. Jesus is my advocate in heaven, but the Holy Ghost is Jesus' advocate in me. Don't you love that? Oh, here he is pleading the cause of Christ in my life. Oh, the Holy Ghost is the advocate that lives in me to protect the rights, the privileges, and the will of Christ in me. Jesus is my advocate protecting my rights before the throne of God. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In some places, he is described as the high priest ever making intercession for us before the Father. But the Holy Ghost makes intercession in our heart on Jesus' behalf. The Holy Ghost protects the interest of Jesus in my life. You say, how do you know that? Because what is Jesus going to say? He's going to come and testify of me. He's going to tell you about who I am. He's going to lead you into all truth. What is the Holy Ghost doing there? He is advocating for the will of Christ in our lives. He's leading us where Christ would have us to go. How many are glad this morning that he protects the rights of Christ in our life and he speaks up on Christ's behalf on the inside of us, making known unto us what he desires? Oh, the Holy Ghost protects the interest of Jesus in our lives. How does he do that? Through conviction. Aren't you glad that there are times you live your life and you might start going in a direction? You might get ready to say something. You might get ready to act in a certain way. And you feel that gentle voice of the Holy Spirit. And he speaks up and says, that's not how Jesus would do that. Woo, hallelujah. And don't tell me you got the Holy Ghost living on the inside and you full of the Holy Ghost and you don't have that conviction power of the Holy Ghost, because that's what he came to do. The Bible said he came to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. And I'll tell you one thing, he'll keep you living righteous. Oh, there is no such thing as a person who's filled with the Holy Ghost who lives an unrighteous life. It don't happen. You can't have the two together. Their unrighteousness and a Holy Ghost-filled life don't go together. Oh, but when he's on the inside, he'll keep you walking the straight and narrow, because not only is he there to enable us to do the works of Christ, he is there to defend the will of Christ in our life and remind us of what he said, what he did, how he acted in this world. How many times have we ever been done wrong before? And oh, if you're like me, you're quick to speak sometimes. You have been. The Holy Ghost has to temper that. And he starts saying, that's not how Jesus would do that. Remember what he did when he was on his way to Calvary? Oh, he opened not his mouth. He reviled not again. I tell you one thing, I've had the Holy Ghost whisper that. I've had him scream it to me, I felt like at times, in my heart, because he was defending the will of Christ in my life. He was the advocate for Christ in my heart, and he was making known what Christ would do in that situation. I thank God for the enablement of the Spirit, but I also thank God for the protection of the will of God, that I could stay where he wants me to be, because the Spirit of God lives on the inside and he pleads the cause of Christ. He keeps us in line with Christ because he is the advocate from heaven that lives in us to maintain the lordship of Christ in our lives. Anything that would rebel against his lordship, he's going to speak out against it. But you know what? You know what? Paul would tell us it's possible to grieve the Holy Ghost. You say, how in the world do you grieve the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you how you grieve the Holy Spirit. When he's talking to you, telling you to go one direction, telling you to respond a certain way, he's there reminding you of scriptures that you've read. He's reminding you of a sinless life of Jesus, how we ought to emulate such, and we go in the other direction. We've grieved the Spirit of God, because that's what he's come to do. He has come not only to be an advocate for us, but he's come to be an advocate for Jesus in our lives and remind us of his will. Third thing, not only that, he enables us to perceive Christ's words to us. Not only does he protect the will of Christ in our lives, but he's here to help us perceive and remember the words of Christ unto us. How many are thankful? I don't know about you, but I find great comfort in those red letter words in this Bible. I love the writing of Paul. I love it, and it is inspired by God. It's given for instruction in righteousness. But there's something about those red letters And you may not have a red letter Bible, and that's okay, but I'm just saying, mine's a red letter Bible, and that lets me know where the words of Jesus are. And there are times I feel that Spirit of God rising up in me, and He reminds me and allows me to perceive the words of Christ. John 14 and 26, He says these words, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." But not just bringing everything. I'm glad He don't bring everything to remembrance. He said, "Whatsoever things I have taught you." Can I tell you, He can't bring it to your remembrance if you ain't ever learned it. If you ain't ever took time to learn it, He can't bring it to your remembrance. But if you've taken time and delved into that word and you've learned it for yourself, He'll bring it to your remembrance when it matters most. And He goes on to say this in John 16 and 13. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into how much truth?" All. A-L-L. Without reservation. All truth. You cannot follow the leading of the Spirit and walk into error. If you walk into error, you are not led by the Spirit of God. It is that simple. There's no other way around it, because He said He will lead you into all truth. The Holy Ghost is our teacher who lives in us and helps us understand the words of Christ unto us. Not only does He remind us of them, but He helps us understand what He was trying to tell us. You know, sometimes there's times I read this Bible and I don't quite understand what it's saying. And there's times I go to commentaries and I look, and I don't think they understand what it's saying either. I go to lexicons and I read behind these Greek scholars that know more about the Greek language than I'll ever know. And I read behind them and I said, I don't think they understand what this means either. Oh, but I tell you one thing. I thank God for the times I get down on my knees and the Spirit of God begins to unfold it. I have the joy of getting up here and trying to help you understand what I feel like the Lord's put in my heart and help me understand. Oh, but I'll tell you one thing. There's nothing like it when He opens it up to you and He makes that revelation known and He begins to lead you into truth. And you realize that ain't just what the preacher preaches. That ain't just what the Sunday school teacher talks about. But that's the word of the living God. And I'm going to live it. I'm going to walk in it because it is truth. Oh, hallelujah. Go with me in your Bibles. Keep your finger there, John 14. Got another place I want to go. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm bringing this thing to a close, but I want you to hear what I got to say this morning. Well, what the Lord has to say, more importantly. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Oh, we rejoice about that. I rejoice about that. He said, "But God hath revealed them unto us by who? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world," thank God, "but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us," not grudgingly given, "but freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Can I tell you this morning, you don't know Shane Cook like I know Shane Cook. I live with him every day. I wake up with him. I go through the day with him. I go to bed with him. Sometimes I wish I wasn't him. And if you were honest, you'd probably feel the same way about yourself. Oh, I don't know you like you know yourself. Oh, but I want you to know this. Oh, what this verse says. "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Can I tell you, just like you can't really know me because you're not me, oh, we can't really know God because we're not God. I'm not God. I don't care what the New Age movement says. I am not part of God. I am from God, but I am not a God. Oh, but notice what Paul declares here. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." If I could take my spirit and put it in you, then you would understand me. I cannot do that, nor would it be very beneficial for you. But this is exactly what God has done for us. That is how we understand what He understands and how we can understand God. Because He has taken and He has put His Spirit on the inside inside of us. Same way, if I put my spirit in you, you'd understand everything about me. I'm not going to do that. You don't want that. Oh, but I am sure thankful that God put His Spirit inside of me, because now, but apart from that, I could not understand God. I'd have no way to comprehend Him, but He has put His Spirit on the inside of me, so now I can comprehend who He is. Notice verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You might as well expect your dog to understand astrophysics as to expect a natural man to understand the things of God apart from the empowerment of His Spirit. Go home and find your little animal, and you might as well expect them to know rocket science. That's about how foolish it is to think a man can understand God apart from the enablement of His Spirit. Oh, but aren't you glad? He didn't say He gave us this grudgingly. He said He gave it to us freely. He gave it to us willingly. Jesus would say it this way. He said, "Now it is my Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." I'm walking in the kingdom this morning. I know the Spirit of God this morning because it was my Father's good pleasure to impart this truth to me. Oh, God was concerned enough that we understand Him and His Word, that He sent us a divine teacher to remind us and to lead us into all truth. Aren't you glad for that? Because it didn't matter how many years I spent studying that Word, I really wouldn't be able to understand and comprehend it for myself if the Holy Ghost won't live in on the inside, making the knowledge profitable. Oh, He can go with us where no physical teacher can ever go. Oh, thank God for it. I got to move on to my fourth and final point this morning. He promotes the worship of Christ by us. This is the last ministry of the Holy Ghost I want to highlight this morning. Well, there's many we could reference. He produces the works of Christ in us. He protects the will of Christ for us. He enables us to perceive the words of Christ unto us. But also He promotes the worship of Christ through and by us. John 16 and verse 14. If you got your Bible, stare there in John. Read it with me. John 16 and 14. He shall glorify who? Me. For He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost not only reminds you the words of Christ, but He glorifies Christ on the inside of you? There is no such thing as a Holy Ghost filled believer, a person walking in the Spirit, that makes little of Christ. I'll talk more about that in a moment. We are a Pentecostal church, and we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I am not backing away from that. I'm only going further into it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And if you haven't received, receive, receive, receive. It's the gift of God for you. And while this is the initial evidence of speaking, by speaking in other tongues, that you've received the baptism, it better not be the only evidence. No such thing as a tongue-talking liar. If there is, they're a liar through and through. But what is the mark of a Spirit-filled life then? Is it that he or she speaks in tongues more than everybody else? Is that a Spirit-filled life? Some people think it is, but that's not the Spirit-filled life. That might be the evidence that the Holy Ghost has come in, but that's not the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Is it that he or she can do miracles? Oh, you know, how many during the 50s and 60s got caught up in the miracle movements? And some of them were legitimate, I don't doubt. Oh, but they got so caught up with the miracles that they forgot the message behind. Oh, it ain't that we don't get filled with the Holy Ghost just so we can work miracles. Is it that he or she can uncover and explain biblical mysteries? No. I know some people that really have an excellent mind on them, but they are not Spirit-filled people. Being able to explain this Bible necessarily is not a sign that you are filled with the Spirit. You say, "Well, Brother Shane, what in the world is a sign?" Well, all of these things may be true, and I believe can be included as the marks of a Spirit-filled life. The true mark is a life in which Jesus Christ is glorified in all things. Because he said he came to testify of me. He came to glorify me. And if you have a person that doesn't glorify Jesus, there's no way they can be filled with the Spirit. Come on. That's the Bible. A spirit-filled person and a spirit-filled church is going to make a lot about Jesus. You are called to go deeper in Christ, but you are never called to go beyond Him. We don't have any other message. Everything points back to Him. We come full circle every time in Jesus Christ. In Him, all things consist, is what the book of Colossians would say. You are called maybe to go deeper, but never beyond Him. Notice what John 15 and verse 26 says. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He will testify of me, saith the Lord. And ye also shall bear witnesses, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Can I ask you, how many want to be full of the Holy Ghost this morning? Do you want to be full of the Holy Ghost? I hope every person in this building, whether you raised your hand or not, I hope that's your desire. And if it's not, please search the scriptures for yourself. Go to Ephesians 5 and 18. And he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It is the will of God for you to be filled with the Spirit. That is the will of God. But let me tell you this also. Can I ask you one more question? Why do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Why? Not just do you believe it's the will of God. Why do you want to be filled? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost so you can be a better preacher, a better teacher? Do you want to be a better soul winner so you say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost so you can have more joy in your life? Can I tell you, all of these come from the Spirit-filled life, but they are not, they are only the products, they are not the purpose for the Spirit-filled life. Can I tell you what the purpose for the Spirit-filled life is? I'm going to put it simple this morning. To glorify Jesus, to testify of Him. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be preachers. Is that what He said? And you shall be deacons. And you shall be aisle running, pew jumping, chandelier hanging Pentecostals. Is that what He said? No, He said, you shall be witnesses of me in Judea and in Samaria. What is a witness? Is a person who testifies and glorifies something. They make much of a message. They have nothing outside of that message. They have nothing beyond that message. He said, I'm not asking you to be the prosecutor and create the narrative. He said, I'm just asking you to testify about what you've seen. And I'm glad this morning that the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of me so that I can testify about the one who came and saved me. I can make a lot about Jesus this morning because the Spirit of God lives on the inside. Glory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the grand scheme of God's plan, oh, it is His plan to glorify His Son in all things. He may call you to preach or to teach, and if He does, He will enable you through the power of His Spirit. He has called you to be a soul winner and to witness about the things that you've seen, but the Holy Ghost will make that witness effective. His desire is that our joy might be full, and when you're filled with Him, your joy is gonna be full. Oh, let me say, the Holy Ghost this morning is to promote the glory of Jesus first in all things. And if it promotes anything else, it's not the Holy Ghost. Because He said He's going to come with one message. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I can't think of a better message to promote this morning. So we all stand this morning. I want my wife to come to the piano. John 14 and 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Thank God for it. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus made good on this promise already. He already made good on that promise. It's not something that's in the that we are still looking forward to. He's made good on the promise. He sent the Comforter. 40 days after His resurrection, He ascended to His Father and sat down on His right hand. 10 days after His departure into heaven, He sent the other Comforter down upon His disciples that were gathered in the upper room. On this day, the believers were baptized. They were submersed. They were immersed in the Holy Ghost. They had already received the Spirit of adoption when Jesus breathed on them in John 20. But here they were immersed in the Spirit of God, filling every part of their life. You know what? Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate that glorious experience, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the coming of the Holy Ghost. But can we take some time this morning to thank God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost as He has come into our lives? He's come to produce the works of Christ in us, because let me tell you, you can't do it on your own. And if you try, you're going to fail miserably. But He came to do it through you. Second of all, He came to protect the will of Christ for you. Oh, He came to remind you of what God wants you to do. to teach you, to show you. He came to help us perceive and understand the words of Christ unto us. And then fourth, he came to promote the worship of Christ, to make much of him. And you know what I say? Final words I'll say this morning as we're going to close. John 14 and 18, Jesus said these words, I will not leave you comfortless. The word comfortless, I'll not leave you like orphans. That's what it means. The original, I will not leave you like orphans, but I will come unto you. Aren't you glad he's come to us this morning? I appreciate the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And so this is how I want us to do this morning. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to answer them to the Lord, and we're going to pray in a few moments. How many need the enablement of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, according to the power that worketh in you? How many need that this morning? You just nod your head if that's you. Yes, I need that. Yes, I need that. Oh, I need his instruction when I don't understand what to do. If that's you this morning, can you just nod your head and say, yes, that's me, preacher. I'm one of them. I need that teaching. I need that leadership. I want to make a lot about Jesus Christ in my life. I want to make him the main message of who I am. To know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. If that's you this morning, can we nod our head and say, yes, that's me, preacher. I'm one of them. I need that. Can I tell you this morning, he's provided more than you'll ever need in the Holy Ghost. He's met every one of those needs in the enablement of the Spirit. When he comes to reside in you, he came to bring about these things in your life. So now my encouragement as we're standing here this morning, I thank God if you've been born again, you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. But he don't want to just live in you. He wants to fill every part of your being. So you know what I want you to do? If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to start asking God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Because I don't want to just know these things in measure. I want to know what it's like for you to fill every area and be able to do what you want me to do. Most of all, to glorify Jesus. That's my altar call this morning. Can we find a place to pray this morning? I think we all got something to pray about this morning. Oh, I think we can spend a little time in worship this morning and say, thank you, Lord, for providing everything that I need. I'm not left like an orphan. I'm not left like a fatherless child that has no way to provide and defend for myself. But you've given me everything that I need. You've provided it all, Lord. Oh, I want to glorify Jesus more in my life. Preacher, I tell you, you can. Oh, you allow the Spirit of God to work on the inside of you, and he'll glorify Jesus through you. I want to work for the kingdom of God, preacher. You can do that, but get enabled with the Spirit. Let him fuel you, because I can promise you there's nothing like working whenever you feel him working and doing the work in you. Oh, yes. Thank God we have another comforter this morning. Another comforter. He didn't have to give us the Holy Ghost. Oh, but he chose to, because he knew we couldn't live this thing on our own. We needed a teacher. We needed a friend. We needed somebody to remind us of what Christ said. And he's provided it all. Thank God for his good gift this morning. Hallelujah.